PuffloRadio.com.
Yeah.
PuffloRadio.com. Internet Inferno. On demand and live pro in the audio.
You are now tuned into the Pro Flow for Show Show, internationally syndicated, act like you know, with your host, Mr. Mad Max. Pro Flow for Show, www.maxi.com.
Pro Flow for Show Show, wireless phone interview feature presentation. Pro Flow for Show Show, Pro Flow for Show Show, Pro Flow for Show Show.
Check this out.
The main website is www.binjams.com. It has links to everything else on the side, and all if you go down to the bottom of the page, if you look along the left bar and all, it's got links to everything else that we have going on.
Awesome. Now that's Ben as in like B-E-N?
Yeah, it's B-E-N-J-A-M-S.com. The name Ben Jam actually came up originally because I had teachers who couldn't spell Benjamin in school when I was a boy, and they'd say, you know, Ben German, and I'm like, no, you know, it's like Ben Jam in, like there's a party going on.
I like that.
But, you know, yeah, so it just turned into Ben Jam because I figured it's easier for people to remember than Benjamin Blankenship. So when I was writing songs and sending them out to other groups and everything, just kind of going down to a studio, getting them put on CD, and just not a full album, but just like a single or something, and trying to get other groups to do them, I thought that'll be easier for them to remember Ben Jam. It eventually turned into me feeling like, well, these are going to have to get out here and they'll do it better if we go around and like sang them. So I had soundtracks made, and then after that it kind of evolved, and it was sort of through me going around covering other groups through a newspaper and all that, and I was hearing all these great bands and everything, and I'm like, well, I can play the drums and my mom can play the piano. So I went ahead and I bought her a keyboard, and we became, I don't know if you can call that a live band, but then you can call the White Stripes a live band, and they're just two people, so I'm just going to go ahead. We then called the White Stripes of Southern Gospel, by the way. But
Gospel.
We started doing that. Gordon Kilcalls later joined our group, and he plays a mean mandolin. He doesn't play like most people think of. He picks it out like a lead guitar. That man's been all over the world. He's retired Navy. And he said, you know, nobody just, like, deadens the strings and chops it over in Spain to actually play. And, you know, so he doesn't, like, do that. So he just plays. He just goes, well, he's fantastic.
That's awesome. So do you guys have you said, what was the name for the...
The name of our band is Ben Jam. That's B-E-N. And then if it's, like, wrote with a graphic, it's a star. If it's typed, it's an asterisk. You know, you hit shift in the eight and J-A-M, and when it's actually wrote, if it's wrote right, it's in all capital letters. We've been to places before where people have introduced us wrong. It's been entertaining. We went out someplace, real country, and they said, Ben Star Jam. They actually introduced us, Ben Star Jam. I said, what is wrong with people? That's like saying Wall Star March. Somebody got up and said, now tonight we have the Ben Jam Singers. And it's just, you know, it's just Ben Jam. You know, not Def Jam, not Pearl Jam, not Paper Jam, not Toe Jam, not Door Jam. Ben Jam.
Specific. And then people need to realize that.
Yeah.
Well, the actual music that you guys are doing, you said it's Southern Gospel?
Yes, it is, but it's not normally what people think of. I know that, like, every genre that there is in music now is a lot wider than it used to be. A lot of people that say, hey, we're Southern Gospel, it's really progressive and slips into easy listening with some. All stuff kind of goes into country, western, and rockabilly style things. Basically, if I like it, we do it, and if I don't, we don't, and I'm just really versed with a lot of different sorts of music, and when I hear things that I like, I'll, like, pick it out of it. I was accused of doing, like, a Little John impersonation on the opening of Holy Ghost Party, but there's some screaming out and some hollering and all that, and some of the faster songs, and then the slower songs, you get the steel guitar, and it's just what it is. I don't do it intentionally. I just write the way I feel it, and if it sounds like it's a meshed up version of this and this and this that just somehow works out, then so be it.
Yeah, it sounds like a very organic, true experience, though, to be listening to your music. Now, you said you started off somewhat as a journalist and, you know, ended up merging into music because you were able to play instruments. How long did it take you to transition between the two?
Well, I was writing songs before I was doing the thing as a journalist. I could never write songs, and my uncle, he had... He lived just a really wild life. He was a rock and roller, and he did a lot of things that go with that. Unfortunately, a lot of times he, you know, the alcohol and drugs and everything. And he died early. His liver was shot. I mean, he didn't drink. He really drank, and it messed him up. He gave his heart to the Lord later in his life. And when he died, I asked him for his gift. There's a story in the Bible that talks about the man with the talents, and the master gave them out to the three people. And the one that didn't use that talent, you know, it's talking about money in that scenario, but it means more than that. He said, you know, that he gave it to the other one who had used his. And I said, God, I said, I want you to give this to me, and I will use this for you. And ever since then, I was 18 years old. That's 1999. I was able to write songs. We recorded our first album in 2009, but the songwriting thing that I was doing was some point in between then, and then we were doing the soundtrack thing, and around the time that I was doing the journalism thing, either before or after, but close to, it's been just a couple years that we've had the music and all that, maybe 2 years or something like that we've been playing live, you know, in that capacity, traveling around. I learned to play the drums. I took lessons when I was 12, and I completely neglected it. You know, you just didn't want to practice and all that. You're a kid. Years and years later, in my 20s, I'm 31 now. In my 20s, I was sitting in this church, and there was this empty drum set that nobody would play, and it just really aggravated me that a drum set was there and that nobody was playing it. And my mom had like a key into the church, and I said, hey, I said, let's go down here on like a Saturday or something. And 20 minutes later, I could play. You know, I mean, the whole thing isn't about not messing up, because everybody messes up. It's about catching yourself and fixing it, and not like perpetually falling over yourself.
If you didn't have music in your life, where do you think you would be at?
You know, when I was 7 years old, and I've evangelized and had pastored a church actually when I was 20, I raised in church. I was like teething on the pew, so to say. You know, I've been in it my whole life. I was actually called at the age of 7, and I ran from it and just didn't tell anybody about it. And, you know, it was like the big secret, and God confronted me when I was 14, you know, spoke to my heart there in a church service, and I finally got up and testified about that. So, I mean, my passion's always been for God and ministry and everything. And music, I don't really know when it came in as strong as it did. I mean, it was there, of course, for me to pray for that, to be able to write songs. I mean, if you didn't want something that bad, you wouldn't ask for it. But, I mean, it was there. I graduated high school when I was 16 years old. I got homeschooled. I wanted to get it over with. I always hated school, especially math. I loved art, but I hated math. And by the time I was 18, I had did a two-year degree through HOMA, which I would encourage our listeners not to do. Go to an actual college, because a lot of times they don't accept those credits if it's just like a two-year program through HOMA. It has to be through a university or something. But I took a correspondence thing, and it was in private investigation. I wanted to be in law enforcement. I was really big on that, and a lot of stuff kind of went on. I wound up being in full-time ministry. What happens with private investigation that I don't guess most people know is, if you have a company, the government, they're not really kind to you. You can only have so many employees, and after you have that certain amount, they start charging you, like, more money. Like, it's not worth your while, more money. So once they have their eight or whatever it is, they don't want to hire anybody else, and you've never physically done it. You've not had any on-the-field training. So you've read a book, but you really don't know. And they're like, go start your own company. And I didn't feel, you know, adequate to do that. I went to Rome State for a semester out in the Harriman, Tennessee campus. I live in Rockwood. It's the next town over. It's Rome County. And in police science, but that's all I ever ended up going down there. I mean, it just didn't, you know, feel right and everything like that.
Tell me about your upcoming label, your record label that you're working on, as well as the artist review venture that you're working on. You can give the audience some detail on that.
Awesome. Well, my record label, it is the newest thing that we're doing. I started the review thing just a couple months before it, really, I think. But the record label is called Benediction. Now, I've always loved words. I love words and art and all that. Again, no math, hate math, don't like algebra at all. I never did algebra in high school. I did geometry. So when I went to college, they were like, what do you mean you don't know how to do algebra? But anyway, so I like wordplay. So benediction, you know, the word benediction means prayer. It means to pray. I learned that when I was in a ministerial association and they had me at a baccalaureate. And like the closing prayer, it said benediction. And they had never used that word. Nobody ever had around me. I've been in church my whole life and never had heard that term. But it means prayer. That's what the name of it is. It's spelled different. It's spelled Ben, and then it's a star, and then it's the word addiction, like you're addicted to something. Benediction has like an E in it or something. It's spelled different. But Ben and the word addiction, which makes it easier. What I do with that right now, and it's kind of like a learn-as-you-go process. It's a seedling record label. Those are my dogs, by the way. I'm outside. If you hear them going at it. What I'm doing is it's a learn-as-you-go type thing. At the moment, we're booking venues, trying to get some more in 2013, and then we're getting some artists lined up for them. I'm running sound with that. I have all sorts of fun equipment that I've bought for my good friends down at Guitar Center, and
awesome.
Just run it, like recording it at the same time. You can multi-track, record the stuff, and mix it. So it's a learning process. I've had people approach me that are friends of mine who have engineering skills, you know, years and years and years doing it. And they've said, you know, man, we will help you with this and teach you how to do this. I mean, now that I've got it up and running. And I think that next year I'm going to put like a lot of focus in production. You know, being in music that it's not easy, and there's a lot of people that just want your money and they want to throw you in the wind. Not everybody, but those people do exist. You know, give me your money, we'll make an album for you, and we'll throw you in the wind. I kind of got a lot of ideals when I got that. Not so much gospel sources, Nirvana and Pearl Jam. You know, you see how they recorded just a lot of live stuff. And you can do that when you play live music. You can, you know, because you don't have the soundtrack, and you can do like a million songs if you know them. So, you know, that's me. And then for this record label, I kind of drew a little bit of inspiration in the way that site's laid out from Third Man Records with that, like the vinyl stuff going on, Jack White's company. I like how he does it. But what I was thinking is like eventually ideally what it would be is, say we sign somebody. Okay, well, they're not like bound to us, but it means that we would get them like a couple times a year and have some kind of agreement with them or whatever. So we would get them a couple times a year. Every time they go down, that's a live album that they've got. So that's a product that we can sell. That's a product that they can sell. It can be put on iTunes, and we'll have some way that we can kind of divide up the profits and that sort of thing. They get like a one-page site within our page, just like Warner Brother Records or any of those places have.
Sweet, sweet deal. That's awesome, man. You got a
lot
of
overthink everything.
Well, I don't know. Overthinking, I don't know when that becomes a problem. I'd rather overthink than underthink, that's for sure. I don't know. It's a fine line. But I wanted to ask you, because you've got so many things going on, and there's a lot of people listening that will be listening that, you know, they don't really understand how this music industry works, or just the whole procedure in trying to get somewhere with music or with, you know, media field. What's been some of the hardest things that you've had to deal with, you know, since you've started your music career?
There's a lot of interesting stuff. I've never been into entering a bunch of contests. I just recently did. I don't want to talk a bunch about that, but I've never really been a lot into that. I watch dog shows and occasionally like beauty pageants, and I get mad because, you know, if there's like a poodle and a bulldog in the same show, you know that that judge is going to prefer one over the other, and then the girl that looks better, and it's a beauty pageant. You're like, you know, man, I mean, she gets Miss Congeniality where you think she should have walked away with the crown, and I guess it's just a difference of opinion. But I don't care to lose to somebody that I feel like, oh, well, they deserve to beat me. But, you know, hypothetically, you kind of wonder. I mean, you've not heard the songs and all that. And you think, are they related to somebody? Or,
right.
How that goes. One thing that happened with us back when was there's this place out in Nashville. And I've seen a documentary on television where people can pay off the Better Business Bureau, supposedly. I forget if it was on TBS or NBC or what, but they were talking about that. They, you know, this particular place, what they did was they said, pay us so much money. It was in the hundreds. It was about $400 or $500, something to that effect. And we'll record your song. And we can open doors that you can't open yourself, and we can get out there into the movie industry and all that. And I have a few songs that, you know, I'm like, man, these songs that the right person would pick them up. God Bless the SEC was the song that I had particularly sent out. It's very popular. It's on YouTube. It's about the Southeastern Conference. It's a football and Jesus song in one. So I sent that out to them, and they recorded a great mix. I mean, it was fantastic, but nothing else ever happened with it. Well, I had heard from a person out there in Nashville that knew about them, that was at some other song place. They're like, man, I said, you should have never messed with them because that kind of stuff goes down. Well, I mean, you know, by all rights, they're past being sued, because you can say, what, am I supposed to make somebody do this? But it was other people, professional people's opinion in the industry that they're not going to do anything with your song. So you just have to be careful with things like that. There's a lot of people, and I don't know if it's in every single genre or not, but I know that it's really prevalent in gospel music, that you can, like, kind of get ahead and open for people through these song promoter or through these concert promoters if you pay them a good sum of money to open for other groups at there. And you know, so you've got stuff like that. And I mean, again, I've talked to lots of groups. We're going to be at the National Quartet Convention. It's in Louisville, Kentucky, in the second week of September every year. That's the biggest yearly event in all of Southern Country and Bluegrass Gospel. Flats and Scruggs is there. Daleen Vincent's there. Lulu Roman, Bill Gaither, all those people are there. One year on Wednesday, Sarah Palin got up to speak, and they had protesters out. Somebody got up and made the joke. They said, this is the first time I've seen people up protesting bluegrass. So, wow. You know, it's just a huge, I think it's 60,000 people that come to it. It's at the Expo Center in Louisville, Kentucky, on the second week of September every year, and there's multiple things going on. Their website is NAT, like natqc.com. And that's where it says who's playing here and who's playing there. We're going to be in a regional showcase this year on Friday morning. So I think it starts at about 10 a.m. Central Time, I believe. And, you know, that's free to get into. Those things are. What that basically is that's groups that get up in that they have booths so they get to sing in it. And that in its own way is sort of a competition, but you're getting exposure. Because there's a lot of people there hearing you, and a lot of it, what you're doing is you're going and you're networking. That's what it really is, and that's what music really is. A lot of it, how you do anything, is you network. And what happens is whoever they say that the best two are of that day, they get to sing up on the main stage in Freedom Hall. All the bigger name singers, that's the big stadium part, yeah. In the evening. And then whoever they think that the best of those was, you know, the creme de la creme of the week, then they get to also get up on Saturday. And they have people like just big-name preachers up there, I mean, that people have heard of. Dr. David Jeremiah has been there. Charles Stanley's been there. James Merritt probably has. Just the bigger-name TV preachers that people can flip on Sunday mornings and see. Those are the types of speakers they get up. And Saturday they go all out. They have like a little service thing on Sunday. When it starts, most people aren't there for that. They start doing the regular thing on Monday. It's a light crowd. People generally start pouring in on Tuesday. Friday, it's heavy duty, and I hear that it's just like overflowing in part of the building on Saturday. I know that some of the artists pack up by then that are in the exhibitors hall, but as far as like the main place goes, where they've got all the singers up on stage, it's huge, huge crowds. It's Ben Jams with an S, because somebody else oddly already had Ben Jam bought up, so it's Ben Jam, like, plural instead of singular, because I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to put some obscure thing on the back of it. People are going to look for .com, so I'll just stick an S on it. I mean, I would have stuck the in front of it if I had to, but, you know, I'm just, like, sticking an S on it. That'll fix it.
That works. So, yeah, we covered a lot of things, and we got the site in there. They know where to find you. They've heard some of the story behind the music. They know what this music sounds like, a very eclectic arrangement of multi-tracking and, you know,
And we are all over the web, too. We're on YouTube. We're on SoundClick. We're on Reverb Nation. We're on iTunes. There is one guy, it's not spelled the same, it's not with the star, that's Ben Jam, that if somebody goes there to me, it's like a hardcore rap with a lot of profanity. That's not me. He's got one called The Evidence.
I want to ask you about that,
yes.
the profanity comment. Why do you think that profanity is not needed in music?
You know, it's like when we have shows and everything too, we try to make them family friendly. I mean, that's really what we try to do. I was talking to somebody just the other day. I mean, I like Johnny Cash and everything.
Yeah.
But I was talking to this young man the other day, and he was telling me, you know, what his thing is. And if we had a venue where we had artists that were like that, he did like Five Finger Death Punch and a bunch of stuff like that. You know, he said he was rock, and he actually is rock. You know, a lot of people say that, and then they're not. So I said, what artists do you do? So I mean, you know, he's pretty hard out there. But you know, I told him, I said, well, here's the only thing, man. I said, you know. I don't want this to be like an 18 and up show. I said, that's totally cool. I said, you can sing about Jesus. I mean, you can just sing about real life. You can sing about doing drugs if you want to, you know, that you went out somewhere. You know, I mean, I've listened to Cocaine Blues. I know all about the Folsom Prison album. That's what that song's off of. Every song after about going to prison. I loved the movie where they told Johnny Cash, don't be singing about killing people and all that. And that's all the entire album is about. So I guess they did say that to him. You know, I've got Stripes and just every single song. Green, Green Grass of Home, that's about being executed, you know, because you're a convict. And all that, but you know, I just don't think that it's necessary. I just don't think that that it's needful.
Do you think that I don't want to lead you into any answers, but do you think that right now that there's a problem with profanity in the music industry at all?
You know, overall, I think that it just depends on the artists and just different artists. Kind of stand for making different sort of statements. Some of them say that it's a form of expression and that they feel like they're coming across more clear that way, and some of them don't have it in there. What I want to do with the name Ben Jam You know, like, in the olden days, how somebody, when they would sign their name to something or they had a signet ring or whatever, it stood for something and it meant something. And basically, I just want people to know what they're going to get. If I turned on a Carrie Underwood song, I wouldn't expect it to have, like, explicit lyrics in it because it's Carrie Underwood. You know, if I turned on Cradle of Filth, man, I mean, that's a whole other story. And I don't want to keep naming off artists, but, you know, there's certain ones where you expect that, you know. I mean, George Strait is not the Hollywood Undead, and the Hollywood Undead is not George Strait. They're two different things. And you know what you're going to hear. And if you want to hear that, you tune into them. But, I mean, I want people to know that when they go out to something and my name's on it, what they're going to get from it, that they're not going to hear that, and that it's just not going to go on. Like I said, I mean, I've been in ministry for years. I told people, I said, I don't care to throw people off the stage if I have to. It would kind of be cool. It'd be like a stage dive, but it would be forced. That's basically just about it. I think it's what you stand for, and if you say that you stand for this, then stand for it, and if you don't, then don't.
There you go. From I've heard some
people that that they have some really clean songs, but you know, then like their demeanor to the audience is not what you would like want, you know, the cuss audience or whatever. So I mean, you just have to think things out about that when you book people and know what you're getting.
There's a lot of different points and different lessons that you gave to us. Hope that people were able to catch most of those things. We're going to get this all taken care of for you. Was there anything else that you would like to tell the audience before we get off the phone?
Just that I really appreciate y'all. I appreciate the interview and just everybody. And I've met so many great people in music. You know, I was talking about the ones that, you know, they just lie and cheat and steal and beat you out of money and all that. Everybody's not like that. There are some great people. I had mentioned a little while ago, I was on a show, the Josie Show, and I was talking about how wonderful the Kentucky Headhunters were. At the particular place where I interviewed them, the person told me he had some other guy, I forget his name, but he's rather famous. And he said, now he's going to have this many people, and he's not good with the press. But then the Kentucky Headhunters are going to be there, and they're going to have the same number of people, and they are the sweetest people in the world. And I'm like, you know, I don't want to go down someplace to be walked on, you know. So I'm going to go to the ones that receive well. And there's just a lot of really wonderful people, and they just acted like they'd known me my whole life. And there's people in every genre of music that I've came across. I know wonderful people in rock and country and funk and just name it, gospel and all sorts of stuff that, I mean, I just really like a lot.
If you or anyone else you know would like to have their poetry music featured on the Pro Flow for Show, hosted by Mr. Mad Max, check us out, www.maxheat.com. Don't be left out. Don't be the last to know. Spread the word. It's Pro Flow Radio.